Welcome to Care of Souls, a podcast of 180 Ministries, where Dr. Stuart Scott serves as the executive director. 180 Ministries equips local churches with biblical counseling by offering counseling, education, and consulting services. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about how we can serve you. This podcast is being recorded in cooperation with the Masters University, where Dr. Scott also serves as a professor of biblical counseling. Visit their website at masters.edu to learn more about their programs in biblical counseling.
Welcome to the Care of Souls podcast. I'm Mark Smith, and I'm joined again by Pastor Adam and Dr. Scott to discuss the next episode in our One Another series, that is, Teach and Admonish One Another, from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, which says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Take it away, guys.
All right, Stuart, we're looking at teaching, admonishing one another. This is one of those one another's of the New Testament that we've been going through this series, and you've been unpacking for us kind of a little bit of the context and what some of these words mean. What would you say about teaching and admonishing one another here in this passage?
Well, probably the most notable word there that we're kind of zeroing in on is admonishing one another. And again, this is the putting on in Christ. It's the new man in Christ. And out of love for Christ and love for one another, here are some of the characteristics of Christ that should come out of us. Ephesians would say, because you're filled with the Spirit, you're controlled by the Spirit of God. Here it's talking about the Word of Christ dwelling richly in us, sort of in a dominating effect of our mind. And the word itself, to admonish, is made up of two words. To place in your mind. It's helping someone think like Christ, to think what's the right thing to do, the right thing to say. In other words, think biblically.
Okay. Well, this is the very crux of biblical counseling, isn't it? We're talking about the original word here in the Greek is nuthetēo, and you're saying that it means putting into the mind.
Right.
Let's just talk a little bit more about that and the significance of that word, even building the foundation of what we know to be biblical counseling.
Yeah. When we think about, like, say, Romans 12, 1 and 2, about being a living sacrifice, verse 2 says, stop being conformed to this world. It assumes we already are thinking worldly, fleshly. And then when God saves us, our whole mind needs to be renewed. So you have Ephesians 4, 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Boy, there's so much of thinking, the thoughts we think that aren't Christ-like. And so there's a complete renewal, transforming that has to take place in our mind, which is part of our heart, right? It's how the heart thinks.
So we're talking about this is what God does in us when he saves us. He first gives us a new heart and a new mind, and then we have to make new habits. And those habits come from putting off the worldly way of thinking, secular way of thinking, sinful way of thinking, and we're going to put on now this new way of thinking, and that is what this word is all about.
Yeah, the we have the mind of Christ is sort of positionally in the capacity, but now we really need to fill it. We need the work to begin. With the help of the Spirit, God's people. So we're teaching one another. It's not enough for just me and Jesus. I need the body of Christ to help teach both publicly, right, the preaching, formal teaching, and privately, the one anothering, that we use Scripture more and more in our conversations is what it's referring to here, not just publicly, but also privately.
Yeah, so in this particular context, since it's not preaching from a pulpit and it's not necessarily teaching like in a Sunday school class, this is almost like in our day-to-day life, we need to be instructing or teaching and admonishing and encouraging and reminding each other of what the truth is. And we're saying that should be going on every day like as a part of discipleship.
Yes, and now there's a couple of ditches to stay out of, and that is making every issue a seminar.
a lecture. My wife calls it a lecture.
And I'll tell you, one of the most notable things is when I was trying to teach the children just areas, and I would bring up scripture and try to unpack it. And it turned into a little lesson constantly. And before long, it's like, I couldn't find the kids. they didn't want a major lesson every time.
Yeah.
And I think the Deuteronomy 6, you know, is just in life. It doesn't mean a whole major treatise, but you can bring scripture to bear even quickly on something and not overdo it. But it's just part of who we are, and we're trying to help them think biblically.
Like you might just cite this one phrase of a verse and then say, hey, so we need to keep that in mind as we go about this issue we're discussing.
Yeah.
Could be that simple.
It could just be a part of a verse, but properly handled, or a principle that is in a passage of Scripture to just on a decision that they're making. You remember what God says, you know, in his word on this, that we're just trying to help them think more like Christ has taught us in Scripture.
Now, when you read the word admonish, what we see here in Colossians 3:16, we're saying that's the word noutheteo. It can be translated in other ways, instruct, confront, encourage. There's several similes to this word. But when we see admonish, I'm often thinking here at this point, we're correcting somebody.
We're helping them think correctly, but it may be that they're ignorant.
Okay.
So it's not a willful, they just don't know any better. So it's not...
It's not correcting, like reproving them.
Right. That's
but
right.
But you're just helping them think correctly and biblically about the issue.
Yes. So it's very gentle, loving. In Romans 15:14, it's just instructing one another, helping people think more biblically. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about admonish the unruly. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a corrective element to it that someone's doing wrong. I think it's the person's not willing to work.
Right.
So that's the lazy individuals. Mm-hmm. You really are correcting them. But others, it's just trying to help them think, place in their mind what's right and biblical.
And that's what you're supposed to be setting your mind on. Going back to verse 1 of Colossians 3, set your mind on things above. And then here in verse 16, the first part, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, as you're meditating on the scripture, as you're thinking through it, memorizing, meditating, contemplating, you know, that should just be now coming out of you. And,
yeah.
And now you're dialoguing about what you're learning and what you're thinking on with those that you're interacting with.
Yeah. If we look at the parallel passage in Ephesians, being filled with the Spirit could have a similar, I mean, it's almost, you know, in the, you look at a parallel passage like that, to be filled with the Spirit, to be under the control of the Spirit, here it's, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, that there is a similarity there of being controlled by the Spirit, which should be going on throughout the day, is just the word of Christ dwelling in us, which means reading, meditating, memorizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way the Spirit dwells in you is not in some outlandish way, but in a biblical, concrete, I'm in the Word kind of way.
Right.
And then as the Spirit's dwelling in you, bringing to remembrance God's Word, it's going to affect your behavior. It's going to affect what you do. You're going to be walking in wisdom, and you're going to be now teaching and admonishing one another with that wisdom that God's given through His Word.
Yes. And I think there are times when we don't even think about ways we can do that. You can do that in a text, you know, just a little part of Scripture to encourage a brother or sister. It could be in a card. It could be in an email.
Very
in person, just when you're talking to someone, it doesn't have to be a major quote of a passage. It can just bring God's word to bear to encourage a brother or sister in Christ.
Sure. It could even be done in a song.
That's right.
Talk to me about that. It's an interesting connection. Sometimes I think we think, you know, about a general Christian Sunday service being worship through song, preaching through the word, and yet we sometimes need to remind our people worship is not just 15 minutes at the beginning of a service, but it's all of life in the word. It's not just for the sermon, but it's also all of life. And this verse connects those two things. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think oftentimes we think worship is just singing. And it's not. It's a corporate, as you mentioned, the use of the word of God, public preaching, teaching, and in music. And that should be part of our daily experience too with one another. And when it says psalms and then hymns and spiritual songs, it seems to break apart maybe the scripture, using scripture, the psalms. Mm-hmm. Hymns are much more theologically based, robust doctrine, mm-hmm. often mm-hmm. put together in a hymn for, fashion. Spiritual songs are oftentimes just lived out choruses that God uses because they have scriptural principles in them, maybe even a part of scripture in them, but it's almost testimonial of a life.
We're saying we're not just singing for fun, and we're not just singing for a beat, and mm-hmm. we're not just singing for an organ.
Yeah.
We're singing scripture to each other.
Right.
And we find that here in this verse, that we can take the book of Psalms. Yep. There's a lot of churches that will use what's mm-hmm. called the Psalter, mm-hmm. which is really just taking the Psalms and putting it into a song-type service mm-hmm. with familiar melodies. And then you're talking about the hymn, some doxology that's right. being sung, and it's rooted and grounded. And then the spiritual songs, is there something going on here about traditional worship, contemporary worship? How do you see that playing into this? Or do we not want to read too much into that, you know, with this particular one another?
Well, I don't know that Psalms is only limited to Psalms, because even in the early church, they had different sections of scripture that they would sing, and they weren't always in the Psalms.
Yeah.
So we have the end of Habakkuk was known as a hymn. Just different areas were it's just scripture. So probably more of the Psalms, but even other passages. But yeah, I think when we're ministering to God's people, there ought to be, now this is my, hopefully not just a preference, but looking at those, there should be a blend of all of those, mm-hmm. where we're singing scripture, doctrine, more hymns, and the spiritual songs of testimonial, maybe even in the age which the people live, mm-hmm. The culture, the music, it's just a blend where all people are being ministered to one another for the glory of Christ.
Yeah, I love that. It is really a blend, isn't mm-hmm. it? And of course, we know these all have to be anchored and rooted in the Word.
Right.
There are some hymns that kind of get off of good scriptural content, mm-hmm. and there's obviously many modern day praise songs that we love and mm-hmm. many that we avoid because they're not any good, right?
That's right.
So we have to evaluate the content and the lyrics of what's going on to make sure that we're following this verse out.
Yes.
And then talk to me about, like, during the time where we are singing these songs to each other, are we talking about this is mainly in a church corporate setting? Or are you saying this could be something that's also happening in the home or when you get together with your buddies? Do you guys sing?
Well, you know, this is written to a church.
Okay.
So I would think for sure when they're gathered together.
Yeah.
But it goes even beyond that, because it's talking about being filled with the Spirit, and that should be all day, every day, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Ephesians 5. So it ought to be something that we're doing even together, whether we're putting music on and singing with it. Mm-hmm. Some would just, you know, rather do that than try to carry a tune that maybe they're not that great of a singer. But I think you could be singing together as a family mm-hmm. and devotions.
Small group setting.
I noticed on Facebook just the other day, a local pastor put the words of a hymn mm-hmm. and was just sharing them. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite hymns, but he was just sharing it. He wasn't singing.
Right.
It was just written, but he was trying to minister to one another.
Yeah.
With a spiritual song. Well, actually, it was a hymn. We can do that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that. Tell me a little bit about when we are singing these types of songs. Is it admonishing our hearts, encouraging our hearts? In other words, you know, you say good preaching brings conviction. Is it possible that singing a certain verse of a hymn all of a sudden brings conviction, instruction, enlightenment even from God's word to your heart in a way that is unique and gifted by God?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it could bring not only instruction, it could bring reproof. Mm. When you sing something like, it's well with my soul, and it's not, mm-hmm. you could just be reproved. Mm-hmm. As you hear other brothers and sisters singing, and you're going, man, it's just not, mm-hmm. but it needs to be. Mm. And you can confess and repent right there. It could be corrective. It could just be encouraging you to be trained in righteousness, which all of God's word is profitable for. Mm. But yeah, I think all of that could be done through music.
you know, I have the pleasure, as you do, of working sometimes as I work as an adjunct. You're a full-time professor here at the Masters University. But a couple of years ago, we had a student in the MABC department who wrote a thesis on music and worship, I should say, you know, this verse and godly songs, hymns, and spiritual songs as a part of our biblical counseling. Mm-hmm. And particularly, he was talking about counseling the depressed. Mm-hmm. And when someone's depressed, you know, sometimes you get in such a bad place, it's hard for you to even read a chapter out of the Psalms or to read and do your homework. And he said, with everybody who's depressed, when they come in, you need to also be thinking about, here are some songs that I could recommend, or here's a playlist that I want to commend to you and even make it part of the homework where I need you to listen to these and then give me a few reflections next time we meet together. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm all for that. Matter of fact, I just keep pushing that. That's one area of biblical counseling I think we're weak on, is we're good on instruction and reading and supplemental readings. But what about music? Either listening to it, right? Download it, listen to it, or read it, the hymns, or write your own. You know, from their own testimony or what God's bringing them through, write it. And some have a skill of putting music or words to music. Let them put it into a song. Yeah. I had one guy at a former school where I was at, and he's pretty well known in the rap, Christian rap. And he put a whole thing together on encouraging someone with an eating disorder and put it to music. Using scripture and bringing it in. And I'm like, wow. So what an interesting way. But I think we have really missed a lot on the area of using music in the area of counseling. And I tell people who are discouraged and down and depressed that in between times during the day, put on some really good, solid music so that your mind doesn't naturally gravitate towards unbiblical thinking. Put on some good music, good lyrics that take your mind upward, as the beginning of Colossians 3 says. It kind of takes your mind up to Christ and the gospel. I'd rather be thinking about that than letting my mind wander.
Yeah, and I think it's just an incredible balance between sometimes we stress, hey, you need to be hearing more preaching. Mm-hmm. We listen to podcasts and sermons. I love doing that. I know you love doing that. But sometimes it's good for me just to say, you know what? I don't necessarily right now need just one more sermon, one more podcast. I'd like to do what you were just mentioning, turn on some worship music, turn on something that will help lift my spirits, so to speak, and just help me pleasantly and stir me in a way that maybe sometimes words by themselves don't adequately do.
Yeah, and I think probably we could say we've memorized quite a bit in our lives, and a lot of the things that stay with me are things that were put to music, right? Yeah. They were choruses, but they were actually a part of a psalm,
right?
Or part of the New Testament. And you're going, oh, I remember that verse when it's to music.
Yeah.
So that was the way that even the Jews would, Jewish people especially, would be memorizing so much scripture as they would put it to music.
So Dr. Scott, as we're talking about teaching and admonishing one another, part of it is doing it through the word and also the singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But notice it also says here, admonishing one another in all wisdom. Talk to me about that phrase there in this verse.
Yeah, usually when we encounter the word wisdom, it's knowledge applied, usually to a moral end in scripture. It's not where I'm praying for an epiphany. You know, someone's needing correction in their mind, and I just get an epiphany. That's not really what the wisdom's talking about. It's more of knowing God's word and thinking, how might this apply to them in their life? And that's counseling, right? That's biblical counseling. It's discipleship. It's wisdom is, I want the knowledge first, and that's from the scripture. And then how can it apply in their specific situation that they're going through?
So we're here talking about application. You're talking about exhortation. You're talking about knowing the person and the presentation problem, but digging a little bit deeper to get to the heart problem and then taking scripture and bringing it to bear. You're saying all of that is a part of doing it in all wisdom.
Yes. And earlier on in the book, in chapter 1, Paul says he's praying, he and Timothy, that they would be filled same word, you know, filled under the control of the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So same thing as taking the will of God that's revealed, and how do I think, how can I help apply that to my life and to the lives of those people that I love or the brothers and sisters in Christ?
Yeah, and what do you think about that when we also discuss, well, only the Holy Spirit can really bring that kind of conviction or application. Sometimes we discuss that in the model of preaching, but you're saying, hey, no, we have a responsibility in all wisdom to at least try our best to bring those two things together, which is doxology and the practice of living it out.
You know, Holy Spirit uses us as his instruments to come alongside one another in love and get to know the person and help them not only know God's word, but how can you apply that? We get it individually by meditating on scripture ourselves. But for people who aren't meditating, but are our brothers and sisters, we're just trying to help them think biblically and kind of a conversation, helping them to meditate on how does this scripture apply to their specific situation? Because that's wisdom. It's knowledge applied to the end that they can walk with Christ in a way that's pleasing to him.
So we're thinking about how to do that for them as we counsel, but we're also asking them and developing a study habit and a methodology of, as you read through this passage between this week and next week, ask the Holy Spirit to show you through his word with the wisdom that he provides of how this is speaking to you.
Make observations from the text, and then how can they apply to you and your present situation or whatever they're struggling with. And then you can dialogue with them. Did they miss it? Did they miss something that's there in the text, or what they said, or how they're working at applying it? It's excellent. And then you become their greatest cheerleader. You're just saying, man, that was excellent.
Well, that's incredible, because it's a skill that's developed over time as you grow and mature in Christ. And also what I see is when people come in and say, well, I know the whole Bible, but it's not really helping me with my marriage. Well, there's the disconnect. They have a lot of knowledge about general principles in the Bible, and yet they're not applying using all wisdom with the Spirit's help through his word to bring about change in their life. And so we're really helping connect the dots. I mean, the Holy Spirit's doing it, but we're teaching them how to do that.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes tough things going on in their life to push them to apply that in their life. They become almost dependent on the counselor, the discipler. And when I've been counseling, let's say, a couple for a while, and I've went over a lot of different biblical principles and encouraging them to apply it, and then they get into a let's say a fight, and I don't mean a physical fight, but a fight, a conflict. And then I'll get a phone call, you know, call us right away. I usually don't, you know.
Because they've been there for a while, and you're going to see if they're going to put it into practice.
And inevitably, now if they text a little more and they go, you know, she's leaving, you know, she's going out the door, there might be a little bit more to the text that would be an exception. But usually I'm just like, no, they've got to learn to go to the Lord, to start talking through, to start implementing these things in the a tough situation. And usually I'll get an email or a text. It might be a few hours later. You don't need to call. You know, we had a good talk and worked through. Praise God. You know, they took the principles and they're applying them. And they're growing in spiritual wisdom, which the scriptures applied. The comfort that we've been comforted with, we in turn can comfort others no matter what they're going through. In 2 Corinthians 1, one of the chief ways that God brings comfort is through the instruction through his word. He can bring comfort through the Psalms. He can bring comfort through some of the epistles. Just any of his word can bring comfort when we're going through a very difficult time. And I encouraged the fellowship group when I was teaching one Sunday, if we're not in the word when we're going through difficult times and receiving God's comfort through his word, and he can comfort other ways, you know, through other believers and various things, but through his word, then we really don't have much to give to people others who are going through difficult times if we're not being comforted.
Right. We want to comfort others with the same comfort which we ourselves have received from God.
Yes.
And if we're not in the Word, we're not receiving comfort.
That's right. So we don't have much to give other than I'm praying for you. Mm. But for those who are getting comfort from God's Word, we're to take those passages and share them with other brothers and sisters when they're going through difficult times. It doesn't have to be the same thing it says. It's in any kind of conflict or situation. And I remember we were going through a very difficult time in that era of our life. And one of the people in the fellowship group sent me a card. And in it was all kinds of verses that had comforted them in a trial they were going through. And they were just sharing them. Mm-hmm. And they wrote them out, which I really would encourage, not just a reference, because we tend not to look them up. Mm-hmm. They wrote them all out, and it was such a blessing. It wasn't the same thing. They weren't going through the same issue we were going through, but it brought comfort. It comforted them, and those same passages brought comfort to us. Mm. And I know a pastor, and that's what he does. He's got all these different passages, cards, and he'll pray them. For the individual that he's writing a card to, he'll pray these verses, and then he makes marks on them and comments on them, and he puts them in a card, and then he sends them to you. And when you get it, you just go, he's prayed these verses. And that's a way of ministering God's word one to another.
Mm, I love that. That's powerful.
Much appreciated, guys. To our listeners, evaluate your own heart and life in terms of how you are dwelling in God's Word and how God's Word is dwelling in you. Are you overcoming sin, or is sin overcoming you? Think about your walk with the Lord. What is He teaching you? Areas in your heart that He is exposing and where you need to grow. Lastly, look for opportunities to boldly and humbly influence others with the truth from Scripture that God is teaching you and proclaim Christ. May the Lord bless you as you seek to dwell in Christ and His Word and teach and admonish one another. Until next time, take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Care of Souls. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by the truth from Scripture and are better equipped to serve Christ in His church. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about our resources and services. Until next time, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. May the Lord bless you as you abide in Him.